Houston sports fans, the sports gods giveth, and we found out moments ago they also taketh away.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Foul ball, right side into the shift to his left. Altuve has it in short right, throws to first, and the Astros are 2017 World Series champions.
That they are. Welcome in 4:06 on a Thursday, another edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on all three KGYM frequencies till 7 o'clock tonight. 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, all the way across eastern Iowa. That was the Houston Astros Radio Network. With the call of the final out of Game 7 of the World Series last night, it didn't turn out to be the epic that many of us hoped for, but I know from following him on Twitter, at least one listener to the show was a very happy man last night. BJ and Marion, I think about the only Astros fan that I know in the area. I do know a couple people who live in Houston. I take that back because we've got a coworker in the building who spent some time working in Houston. And he's been wearing his Astros gear around the building lately. But BJ and Marion celebrating last night in tears. And I can relate. I went through it 365 days ago, the anniversary of the 2016 World Series championship. But is the Sports Illustrated cover curse officially broken for good? That's the KGYM radio poll question today, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast here in Cedar Rapids. Sports Illustrated in 2014 put George Springer on the cover of the magazine, and there was an article by Ben Reiter who wrote that the Astros were building for success down the road, and the cover predicted that they would win the World Series in 2017. And not only, Alex, did that happen, but who was the MVP of the World Series? The guy who they put on the cover in 2014, George Springer. Does this officially break the sports? Nothing that happens from here on out could possibly mean that there's a Sports Illustrated cover curse, right? This officially breaks it?
It doesn't, and let me tell you why.
Was Deshaun Watson on this week's cover?
No. Okay. Whenever Sports Illustrated makes a short-term prediction or puts a team who is still in the middle of their season on the front page, for example, the Iowa 2015 basketball team and football team, then they lose right away. But if they make a long-term prediction, for example, LeBron James in high school, Bryce Harper in high school, and now the Houston Astros, it seems to come true. So I think short-term predictions, it's a curse. Long-term predictions, it means it's going to happen. That's how I look at it, at least.
The parade is tomorrow. They have canceled school tomorrow. If you are a Houston school child, you do not have to go to classes tomorrow. The parade is going to be in downtown Houston. That franchise has been waiting for this since it came into existence as the Colt 45s back in 1965, I believe it was. And congratulations going out to everybody with that organization, because it was a long, arduous journey, much like the one that the Cubs went through when Theo Epstein came on board and the Ricketts family bought the team. They made the conscientious decision to not invest for the short term at the big league level just to try to keep fans happy by winning 80 games a year or finishing at 500. And I know it's relatively controversial, and we may talk about that a little bit today. I know they touched on it on ESPN National Programming, and the Russillo Show did a segment on whether or not tanking is good and whether or not you believe in it. It's not like things out there that you can choose to believe in. I mean, It's real. It exists. Before we get too far down the road, we've got a great show for you today. Bill Landis is going to be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour, the longtime Ohio State beat writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Brent Bloom will join us at 5:30 tonight for from CycloneFanatic.com. We'll look ahead to this weekend's showdown in Morgantown with West Virginia. And Woodja is on tap as well tonight. We've got a great giveaway for you today, as we have all week, a watch from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in downtown Iowa City. These, moving forward, are women's watches, because the men's watches have been claimed. So think of it this way, guys. Be a nice token of appreciation for the better half in your life, or, because we do have female listeners to the station, you could take home a very nice watch. And we'll give you an opportunity to do so coming up, let's say, in the first half of the program tonight. So before 5:30, you'll need to give us a call at 319-366-1600. And coincidentally, that's also the Hertine and Stocker text line. Hertine and Stocker, located at 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City. Stop on in and tell them you heard about them right here on KGYM. So good news, bad news for Houston sports fans. Good news, they're celebrating a World Series championship, the first in the franchise's history. The bad news is today, and this isn't just for Houston fans, the bad news is today it looks like Deshaun Watson, the quarterback of the Houston Texans, has torn his ACL and is going to miss the remainder of the season. A surefire rookie of the year, and perhaps one of the most entertaining players in the league to watch this year. And everybody's talking about how the NFL is unwatchable at this point. This is a major blow to that league, losing Deshaun Watson. And we just talked a little bit about him last night from a fantasy football perspective with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. What do you do here if you're the Houston Texans?
There are two franchises in the NFL that these past few years I almost feel bad for. And that would be the Minnesota Vikings.
Not the Browns.
And the Houston Texans. No, because the Browns, as we found out with their nicks or their botched trade at the deadline,
couldn't properly send an email.
They're so incompetent that they couldn't file the paperwork correctly to get the trade into the league office. We'll get to we probably won't get to that, but that's just embarrassing. But the Minnesota Vikings and the Houston Texans have had things happen to them that are completely out of their control for the past 3 years. We know what's happened to the Minnesota Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater injury, Adrian Peterson's decline, then injury, Blair Walsh missed field goal in the playoffs. That's a tough pill to swallow, because I think Mike Zimmer is a fantastic coach. And likewise, for Bill O'Brien, I think what he has built in Houston is very good, especially defensively. J.J. Watt gets hurt this year. And then Whitney Mercilus gets hurt. Those guys are out for the rest of the year. And you're thinking, well, at least they finally have a quarterback. How often over the past 3 years have we said this team was a quarterback away from contending for the Super Bowl? And it was starting to look like they finally had the quarterback. Yes, they're 3-4, but Deshaun Watson had been playing at a high level. And he goes out with a non-contact ACL injury in practice today. It's just, it's been a tough run for the Houston Texans, because they keep looking like they're just on the verge, and then something happens to pull them backwards.
It's not the only quarterback news today. Revealed in Indianapolis that Andrew Luck is going to be shut down for the year. So I know there are people out there speculating on whether or not or when he would return, but it looks as if the Colts, look, they made a trade at the beginning of the year for Jacoby Brissett, and I saw Dan Dockich, who, whether you like him or not, Dockich isn't afraid to share his opinion, and for almost from day one, Dan Dockich has said in Indianapolis that the Colts management was not being honest with fans about Andrew Luck's returning this season, and now I think in hindsight you look at that and go, yeah, they made that trade for Jacoby Brissett because maybe they had a feeling that Luck wasn't going to be coming back this year. I don't know. Have we seen the best of Andrew Luck? That's another question as we look at the NFL right now, because he's not going to get on the field this year, and there's already rumors coming out of Indianapolis that maybe they would look at trying to move him this offseason if he shows improvement coming back from his injury. So bad quarterback news on a couple fronts today in the NFL. We want to hear from you, though, on the Hertine and Stocker text line, 319 866-1600. It's not all bad news out of the NFL. Former Iowa defensive back Micah Hyde named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month for October. Hyde, the former Green Bay Packer who signed that big lucrative deal with the Buffalo Bills in the offseason, has been absolutely fantastic this year on the defensive side of the ball up in Buffalo. Pretty nice honor for him. Can they use him this weekend against the Buckeyes in Iowa City? Can they sneak him back and put him in disguise like Bobby Valentine, maybe some glasses and a mustache? Because as we were talking earlier here in the building, looking at this Ohio State-Iowa matchup this weekend, and just hearing what Kirk Ferentz had to say on Tuesday, this is going to be perhaps the most difficult game Iowa will play all year. You could put it right up there, 1A and 1B, I think, with Penn State. And then number two is probably the game that they're going to have to play next week going on the road to Wisconsin. But this Ohio State team is coming to Iowa City loaded for bear on Saturday. And if you missed the gym class, they had a great interview with, what did Gary Dolphin, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, referred to him as? Was it Papa Bear, Big Bear, Big Daddy?
Big Daddy.
Big
yes.
Daddy, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice
Not
of the Buckeyes.
Not to be confused with our friends.
Don't say it.
In Nebraska.
Podcast available, KGYMradio.com, if you missed Paul Keels and Gary Dolphin on the gym class earlier today. Those guys are going to be in the studio tomorrow. We are packing up and taking the show on the road, literally and figuratively. It'll be another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire tomorrow. Stop on into the Coach's Corner in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Truck Boulevard. We're going to wrap up the baseball season talking with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom. And then during the 6 o'clock hour, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com and I will catch up with former Iowa running back Albert Young. Looking forward to that. Albert, a member of some very fine Hawkeye football teams in the middle of the 2000s, right at the peak of the Kirk Ferentz era run. Iowa, by the way, has only beaten, since 1992, Ohio State once, and that was in 2004. And I saw this earlier. I'm really looking forward to this story this weekend. But Courtney Bowman from the Daily Iowan tweeted out that she caught up with Drew Tate and was asking him about his remembrances of that 2004 Ohio State game, and Iowa really put their foot on the throat of the Buckeyes that day and ran away with it. And his comment was, in the third quarter, the guys were in the huddle talking about the bars that they were going to go to that night after the game was over. You don't necessarily get color like that from current Iowa football players, but that was, you know, Drew Tate was a character. And the run of Iowa quarterbacks, I mean, Ricky Stanzi certainly had a little bit of personality to himself as well. But we've had some relatively, for the most part, straight-laced quarterbacks.
Vanilla.
And C.J. Beathard was interesting just because of his grandfather and his father's business with the music industry and his brother being in country music and everything. But they don't make guys like Drew Tate anymore.
No,
and,
they don't.
Nice little run that he had as Iowa's quarterback. Maybe he comes up in our conversation with Albert Young tomorrow on the program as well. 319-366-1600. That is, as we mentioned, the Hertine and Stocker text line, and we're going to put it to good use today, talking a variety of topics, including, and this will come up on Would Ya, but Gino Auriemma was on Pardon My Take, the podcast that the guys from Barstool Sports, even though people want to pretend that they don't work for Barstool Sports, do. And among the many interesting nuggets to come from that podcast, Gino Auriemma said that he would hire Rick Pitino at UConn if he had an opening on his staff, and that everybody has baggage. Everybody makes mistakes. He's paid for his crime. He's done the time, that he would hire him if he had an opening. That's coming up on Would Ya tonight in the 6 o'clock hour, but yeah.
That's interesting. I can't rule that out right away.
Everybody's got baggage.
We'll get to it on Would Ya, but it's not like there's a big market for paying women's basketball players under the table right now. So would that even be an issue in the women's game? We know it's not an issue in the NBA. Would it be an issue in the women's game?
Would anybody be aware of it if it was an issue in the women's game? I mean, it's just kind of the facts of life. I'm taking a look at the Hertin and Stocker text line. BJ and Marion, it is a great day to be alive. Sort of surprised that BJ is still alive after last night, but he's a little older and more mature than he was in his younger days. But I remember celebrating last year after the Cubs won the World Series. And don't limit it to a 24-hour celebration. You get a couple days and then the rest of the year to at least bask in the glory of winning the World Series championship. And that's a Houston team that I think is built to be right there in the discussion for future World Series championships. Now, the odds are already out. This happens every year after the Super Bowl, after the NBA Finals, after the World Series. Immediately, the odds come out. And it's the Dodgers as the number one favorite to win the World Series next year. I think the Cubs, if you're a Cubs fan interested in putting down some money, they are right now at 10-1, which is, I think, about the sixth or seventh best odds. So you're getting a decent return on your investment there. One team ahead of them just hired a former Cubs coach to be their new manager. That's the Washington Nationals. They're a 7-1 favorite to win the World Series next year in what will likely be Bryce Harper's final year in Washington, D.C. And the Nationals will also come up today on Would You? Not to give away too much information about everybody's favorite segment on a Thursday edition of the show, but the Nationals at 7-1 to win the World Series, turning their team over to a first-time manager.
Is that a sucker's bet, Todd? You know more about this.
10-1. Cardinals, by the way, because I'll get yelled at by Cardinals fans. Not by you, Alex, but other Cardinals fans. St. Louis currently 20-1 to win the World Series. So put your money where your mouth is, Cardinals fans.
We haven't gotten into free agency yet.
Well, and that's why they call it gambling.
I can't even predict a series at the beginning of a best of seven series. David Ortiz, who knows much more about baseball than I do, presumably picked all seven games incorrectly. I'm guessing he went with the Dodgers last night. Maybe that's a bad assumption.
You know what? I didn't see the pregame, so I don't know, but I would assume that he probably went with LA. We did.
And you're telling me I have to predict who's going to win the World Series right now? I just can't imagine putting any money on that.
You don't have to predict who's going to win. You just have to put your money on it. You could put your money on a couple teams right now if you wanted to.
Hedge your bets.
20-1 on the Cardinals to win the World Series. Like you said, free agency hasn't even begun yet. I am loving the text line, though, because I just now have looked down at it, and about three or four texts in a row are responding to the Gino Auriemma comments with regard to Rick Pitino coming with his own baggage. 9896 says, it's not like Pitino just has a carry-on. Dan in Solon says, some baggage. Pitino has an entire tractor trailer full. And there was another great one in here as well. Somebody with a line about Rick Pitino's... Mike from Marengo. Not everybody has their own private jet to carry around all of their baggage. I don't know if you're Gino Auriemma, why you even say that, unless you're best friends with Rick Pitino. I think there's probably a more graceful way to approach that subject, but... Yeah, sure. Everybody's got baggage. Okay, well, would you hire O.J. Simpson if you had an opening there? Well, everybody's got baggage. You're stretching the definition a little bit there.
And the text line is letting me know that Big Poppy refused to pick last night.
He didn't pick.
So he wouldn't get it wrong. So he incorrectly predicted six games of the World Series.
Okay.
Still stand by my statement.
And I did not see whether or not the guy that had rolled the wager over on the World Series, whether he put his money back on the Dodgers last night to win Game 7, because if he did, he's completely busted unless he hedged his bet with a couple million on the Astros on the side. But there had been one bettor in Las Vegas who was putting each winnings, rolling it over onto the next game, and he had been 6-4-6 going in to last night's game. And, of course, this is the point where we remind you that talking about gambling, point spreads, futures bets, all for entertainment purposes only. And we also remind you that you can tune in to the tail end of the gym class tomorrow, about 3:40, 3:45. We'll have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 for you, picking six games from the college football schedule this week against the spread. And if we do the best job, one of us does the best job of picking games, whoever has selected us is going to take home a $30 gift certificate to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. It is 4:25. We're going to take just a quick timeout, and we come back again. Bill Landis from the Cleveland Plain Dealer set to join us in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. We will preview Saturday afternoon's Iowa-Ohio State showdown at Kinnick Stadium. It's the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, as well as 1600 AM and anywhere online at kgymradio.com. Back after this.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
4:27, and welcome back in. According to RJ Bell of pregame.com, the bettor that was letting his winnings ride was not expected to bet game 7. He reportedly walked away with his winnings. So you want to talk about, the cojones to do that after 6 games and then, you know what? I'm going to call it good when everybody out there is probably expecting you to put your money on game 7 since you've done it for the first 6 of the series. Pretty wise choice there. And I don't have an update for you on the guy who owns the mattress store in Houston. We mentioned that a couple weeks ago, but he was insuring his promotion. If you bought over $3,000 in mattresses or bedding from his store and the Astros won the World Series, you were going to get your money back. So he's going to be cutting some checks to some folks, too. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got a first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team will be in action for its second exhibition game tonight. They've got Belmont Abbey College coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena. Tip-off is set for 7:05, and tickets are just $5 for adults and free for kids and students. Belmont Abbey's making the trip from Belmont, North Carolina, and went 14-15 out of the Division II Conference Carolinas. Northern Iowa took one on the chin in Madison last night, falling to Wisconsin 69-38 in its exhibition game to benefit the hurricane relief efforts. Juwan McLeod led the Panthers with 10 points, but all of that came within the first 7 minutes. UNI struggled, but a lot of the credit should go to Wisconsin's defense, allowing just 32% shooting and forcing 16 turnovers. Former Hawkeye Micah Hyde is in his 5th season in the NFL and his first with the Bills, and he's really hitting his stride now in Buffalo. He leads the league with 5 interceptions and today was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month after 4 of those picks came in October. Another former Hawkeye, Greg Maben, who was cut by the Bills earlier this year, was signed off the Niners practice squad and joined C.J. Beathard and George Kittle on the active roster. Tonight after the show, we've got Thursday Night Football. The surprising Bills travel to New York to take on the meddling Jets in an AFC East matchup. That will start just before 7:30, and we'll carry the coverage right after our show on all three KGYM frequencies. That's 106.3 FM, the South Gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 1600 AM, the Historic Main Gym.
Who is it tonight? The Jets and the Bills?
Yep.
Okay, well, rolling with Josh McCown in that two-quarterback league. We'll see what he can do against that Bills defense. That was a tough loss last night for you and I, by the way. They did not look good from what I read and listened to a little bit of Gary Rima on the play-by-play last night. But it was an exhibition. Good news, Panther fans. Doesn't count against you in the win-loss record. Bill Landis from the Cleveland Plain Dealer has been with us before to talk Ohio State, Iowa, and he's going to join us again to talk Buckeyes and Hawkeyes. He's with us next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
Good situation.
But say it's two more. That means Garoppolo doesn't play for six when he's going to get paid the same amount, if not even more, to go somewhere else and actually play the game that you got drafted into.
The Ryan Russillo Show. Weekdays at 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news in the NFL. Texans rookie quarterback Deshaun Watson will miss the rest of the season with a torn ACL during today's practice. Watson was having an impressive rookie season, completing 62% of his throws, 19 TD passes, and 8 interceptions. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck won't take a snap at all this season. He goes on injured reserve today with continuing soreness in his right shoulder. Luck had surgery on that shoulder back in January. Bills and Jets in an AFC East battle tonight in New Jersey to kick off Week 9. The Cleveland Cavaliers have lost four straight. They're 3-5, and now they lose forward Tristan Thompson for 3 to 4 weeks with a strained left calf. He got hurt during last night's loss against the Pacers. The Angels lock up outfielder Justin Upton with a new 5-year, $106 million contract. Under his old deal, Upton could have opted out by Saturday. That old contract had 4 years and $88 million remaining.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-True entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra headlight capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Guys, come into the JCPenney men's store for your new fall look. Now through Sunday, get 50% off select outerwear, sweaters, and men's Arizona denim and tops. Plus, check out what's new in our Big and Tall shop. Find great styles of select items from the Foundry Big and Tall Supply Company starting at $11.99. We've got all the styles you need in your size, in-store, and at jcp.com. Hurry in. Sale ends Sunday. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Welcome back in 435, the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3 and 107.5 FM. That's our South and North Gym frequencies in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. We're also on 1600 AM, heard all across eastern Iowa and anywhere as long as you've got an internet connection and the ability to check out KGYMradio.com. While you're there, make sure you're voting in our poll question today from our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Is the Sports Illustrated cover curse officially broken for good now that the Astros have won the World Series and the magazine predicted it on its cover? Not just predicted the World Series win, but the picture was of George Springer, the eventual World Series MVP, back in 2014. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Iowa has a big football game this weekend at Kinnick Stadium. We're going to spend plenty of time talking about it tomorrow as well as on Saturday as our pregame show comes your way on our FM frequencies before the boom. It'll air at 12:30. And joining us now to take a look at Ohio State and Iowa this weekend, the longtime beat writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Bill Landis, is with us. Bill, welcome back to the KGYM airwaves. And my first question for you is, what was the feeling around the team last week after they escaped the Penn State game with a win?
Good, obviously, and I apologize for my voice. I'm feeling a bit under the weather. They were feeling good. You know, it was weird for the position they were in the game. They were up statistically dominating Penn State, and they were down by a few scores. But the fans were nervous, but I didn't really sense any kind of panic from the Penn State players. They were really flying around, especially on defense, and the offense kind of picked up on that. So I don't really know how much doubt there was in them, even through the game. And then afterwards, certainly, they were excited to pull out a win like that, but it was almost like they expected to win it too, which was kind of strange given the way the game was going.
Heading into this week, there's a lot of talk about a hangover after an emotional win like this and going on the road to Kinnick Stadium where things – Iowa's made things difficult on opponents. Has Urban Meyer made that loud and clear to his team this week?
Yeah, he has. They've been very kind of business-like this week. It's weird. You can get a vibe for them, especially Urban Meyer talking to him during the week. And I thought last week heading into Penn State, he was very relaxed and kind of calm and sort of joking around in a way he usually doesn't before a big game. He's in that mood this week. He's in that opposite mood this week where it's all business. His answers are short. He's not very talkative. He's aware of the position the team has put itself in, and he's also aware that it could be taken away because they know not only are they playing in a tough stadium in a place where games get kind of weird, but they think Iowa's good, and especially on defense. So they're not taking this lightly, and Urban Meyer certainly is hammered at home this week.
That was my next question for you, Bill. What exactly was said about the Hawkeyes this week in Columbus?
Urban Meyer kept harping on it, and he kept apologizing for being stereotypical, but he just kept saying, Iowa tough. And I'm sure you guys know what that means. There's a culture there that everyone knows the way Iowa plays. And they've been playing a certain style of defense for a long time that's very physical and doesn't allow for big plays. And Ohio State's offense kind of feasts on big plays. So they could potentially be put in a tough position to, you know, have to kind of grind out a win, which usually Ohio State doesn't have to do. They rely on the 10, 20, 30, 40-yard big splash plays to kind of take a team's will, and Iowa is not a team that really allows that. So that's been the discussion, is trying to find a way to crack a defense that no one, I guess, outside of maybe Iowa State has been really able to crack this year.
Bill, one of the intriguing storylines coming into the year was about Kevin Wilson coming to Columbus and would he be able to open up the offense and create more big plays. First three games, there was some inconsistency. Where has this offense improved the most since that Oklahoma game in Columbus?
I think the one thing they did is simplify things a little bit, and that's what Kevin Wilson was saying this week. He felt when they played Oklahoma, and even when they played Indiana and things were slow, there were a lot of things in the playbook, some new concepts, some old concepts, but it was just a lot for the offense to learn, and I think everyone was kind of overwhelmed, and that includes Kevin Wilson. He's a guy who likes to think fast, call plays fast, and have the offense move as fast as well, and so I think they've stripped down the playbook a little bit. If you look at some of the things they're doing in the passing game, it's all kind of built off of one or two concepts. The running game is still kind of the simplified stuff that Urban Meyer's always done with quarterback run mixed in. But I think that there was so much pressure on the coaching staff to develop a more dynamic passing game that they kind of got themselves in trouble trying to do too much. And now they're doing less. They're moving faster, and moving fast certainly suits JT Barrett.
We're talking Ohio State Buckeye football with Bill Landis from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. How has Kevin Wilson integrated himself into that coaching staff this year in his first run as offensive coordinator?
Pretty well. Him and Ryan Day both. Ryan Day is the new quarterback's coach, who was with Chip Kelly with the Eagles and the 49ers, and then came here in the spring along with Kevin Wilson. And those are two guys that are now kind of gelling a little bit, it seems like. I think you can get a feel for that with the way they're calling plays. Urban Meyer has said he likes their aggressiveness. They had a real problem here the last 2 years, as I'm sure you guys are aware, with their offensive coordinators, Ed Warner and Tim Beck. They just couldn't get on the same page with Urban Meyer, and the offense stalled because of that. Kevin Wilson and Ryan Day have this thing clicking a little bit, much more so than it has been the last 2 years, and it's looking a little more like it looked for Ohio State in 2014.
Let's talk about the running game for just a second. J.K. Dobbins has been somebody that's impressed me every time I've watched Ohio State. What kind of weapon has the freshman out of Texas proved to be so far?
It's an explosive element to the run game that they didn't have last year. Mike Weber is a very solid running back, but he's the kind of guy who's going to average 5 yards a carry because every carry is for 5 yards. He's never going to like break one for 15 or 20. J.K. Dobbins can take one 50 yards. You never know when it's coming. He's very fast. He's got pull-away speed. He's got a great jump cut. He's very, very elusive, especially for a freshman. It's kind of crazy the mark he's left or mark he's made so far. But they are in a weird position where they want to play both he and Weber. So you're not going to see Dobbins on the field all the time, which might sound crazy given the stats he's put up this year. But they are set on playing both of them. So you'll see Dobbins and Weber on Saturday.
What's been the biggest change with this team, in your opinion, since that loss to Oklahoma in week two?
JT Barrett's confidence. He played against Oklahoma much like we saw him play against Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl, kind of timid. Part of that was because they weren't blocking very well, but part of it, too, was I just think he lost a little bit of confidence in his arm, and he wasn't very accurate. He wasn't thinking fast, and then something clicked. You know, they played some bad teams. They played Army, or Army's not a bad team, but they played UNLV, and they played Rutgers, and then he just got on a roll a little bit. And the guy who was completing those passes in the fourth quarter against Penn State is not anyone I've seen here, and I've been here for as long as JT's been here covering the scene. That was a different quarterback, and if he's going to play like that, you know, this is an offense that's going to do some big things.
He completed a pass to 9 different receivers last week. Does he have a go-to guy in the receiving core that he likes to go to late in games, or is it kind of just basically who's open?
Yeah, it's kind of who's open, kind of by committee. They have a slot receiver named KJ Hill, who probably has the best hands on the team. And if there is a go-to guy, maybe it's him. He'll probably play more because Paris Campbell, the other slot receiver, is injured and not likely to play this week. I don't think he got dinged up now 2 games in a row with shots to the head, I think. So I doubt that he plays. So I look at KJ Hill, number 14. Austin Mack, number 11, seems to be coming on a little bit. But there's not a Michael Thomas like they had in 2014 and 2015. There's not really one go-to guy.
You cover this team closely. You're around them. You watch their games. Do they have an Achilles heel?
Yeah. I think the jury's still out on their pass defense. They had great cornerbacks last year, or great defensive backs last year. 3 of them went in the first round of the draft, and I think their safeties are pretty good. Damon Webb and Jordan Fuller, and then one of their corners is pretty good, and Denzel Ward, and then that other corner spot has been a weakness for them. They have 2 guys there, Damon Arnett, who is a redshirt freshman, and Kendall Sheffield, who's a junior college transfer. And neither one of them has really stepped up to take that spot. Indiana hit some throws on them. They've had problems with pass interference penalties. They're not great at finding the ball when they're in coverage. They're usually in pretty good position, but even when they're there, they're not great at getting those pass breakups. So if you can have time to throw the ball, which is tough with Ohio State's defensive line, there can be openings to complete passes.
Let's talk about that offensive line for a second. Greg Schiano said coming into the season that it was the best he's ever coached, and he's coached in the NFL, obviously. But have they played up to their potential so far this season?
They have. They really dominated Penn State at the end of that game. The Indiana game, Indiana was hitting throws on them, and then in the second half they couldn't hit anything because their quarterback just kept getting drilled on every snap. So their pass rush has been as expected, and I'm actually getting ready to write a thing now. Their run defense, I think, has been much better than we all expected. Right now, statistically, this is the best run defense Urban Meyer's had at Ohio State. You know, that's having played Saquon Barkley and an Army team that's going to run for 200 yards, even if you play well against them. So, yeah, the defensive line, I think, has lived up to the billing. It was kind of crazy when Greg Schiano said that, but when you sit back and think about it, there's five guys on that line who are going to get drafted, so... Yeah, they're good. That's the best part of the team, for sure.
What was the reaction in Columbus to the initial college football playoff poll that came out this week?
I think people kind of expected Ohio State to be in that spot. There was an outside chance, I think, that they'd be in front of Oklahoma. But I think everybody kind of took a step back and realized that that head-to-head win still matters, and they're going to hope that the Big 12 can kind of cannibalize itself. But as long as Ohio State's in striking distance, I think people are going to be happy about it. So I think they were good with six. They weren't really up in arms about it.
Bill, we appreciate the insight on the Buckeyes. Safe travels to Iowa City this week.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bill Landis, the beat writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, covering the Buckeyes, who made an appearance at number six in this week's college football playoff poll, just on the outside of the top four. Looking in along with the team that beat them head-to-head in week two of the season in Columbus, the Oklahoma Sooners, who were beaten by the Iowa State Cyclones. It's fun times in the college football world, and we'll see how things play out. But this is a really good football team that's coming to Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. And I know in the past that hasn't meant a whole lot because Iowa has knocked off some very good Michigan football teams, most recently doing so last year. They've beat really good Penn State teams in the past. Wasn't necessarily the case this year, but they came really close. I just don't have a good feeling, though, about the Ohio State game this week. Now, I guess, and one thing that we didn't mention with Bill, is Ohio State plays Michigan State next week and played Penn State last week, two divisional opponents and divisional rivals. Maybe you catch Ohio State in a little bit of a trap here, but it seems pretty clear in reading what Urban Meyer had to say about Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes earlier this week that he's got a healthy amount of respect for what Kirk has done in Iowa City and a healthy amount of respect for that defense too, although they're going to be tested at times quite heavily Saturday with JT Barrett, who just as Bill said after that Oklahoma loss, gained some confidence. And I think in anything in life, confidence can sometimes carry you beyond your abilities. And he was already immensely talented to begin with, but now you throw in a little confidence there. And I think Bill wrote a piece a week or so ago or earlier this week about JT Barrett being an outside candidate for the Heisman Trophy. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, a little bit far-fetched at this point, but if he keeps playing well and other people stub their toes or worse, who knows? Maybe he gets an invitation to New York at the end of the college football season.
I think it just shows the expectations, and partly because of the success that they've had, actually mostly because of the success that they have, that Ohio State has and that the coaching staff has and the fans have. That earlier this season, there were some questions as to whether JT Barrett should be the starting quarterback after some struggles against Oklahoma and Indiana and then Army. It's crazy for us to think about it. A guy who, I don't have his record in front of me, but his losses in college are clearly in the single digits. He has done nothing but move offenses when he has been the starting quarterback for 3 years at Ohio State, yet there were some question marks as to his explosiveness. Was he a big enough playmaker? Could he push the ball down the field? He is playing at pretty much the best football of his career at this point in the season, and Ohio State's within striking distance. And like you said, Todd, I think Urban Meyer felt that. I think coaches have a very good grasp on their team and have a very good grasp on certain realities. And after an emotional win, it's only natural for a team to take a step back that next week or sleepwalk against an opponent that they think that they are more talented than. And Urban Meyer knows full well that if you do that against Iowa at Kinnick Stadium, things can get very interesting. And he is trying everything all week, as we talked about with Bill and when I've seen Urban speak this week, to get the message to his team that this is going to be a tough battle if you don't bring at least your B game to Kinnick Stadium.
Forecast this weekend looks like it's going to be in the upper 40s to lower 50s, and I don't know at what point during the day, but it looks like some showers could be in the forecast for Saturday and Sunday, so maybe the weather conditions slow down Ohio State's offense a little bit, and who knows? Iowa right now at about a 16.5-point deficit with the odds makers in Las Vegas to try to even the field and get a little action on both sides here. The Houston Texans have reportedly signed one quarterback to replace Deshaun Watson and may or may not be looking at working out another one. Is it who you're thinking it could be? Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
Riverside Casino and Golf Resort has been a huge supporter of the Corridor Classic Tour de Cure for years. And this year, they're hosting a kickoff event. Tomorrow, from 11 to 2, sign up for the ride, and registration is only $10. You get that early bird discount and a jump start on raising funds for the American Diabetes Association. Begin the countdown to the 2018 Corridor Classic Tour de Cure tomorrow at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, 15 minutes south of Iowa City, or go to diabetes.org/corridorclassic.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
The High School Football Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Holmes Murphy, Fighting Insurance Solutions. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead. Visit HOLMESMurphy.com.
John McClain, who does an outstanding job covering the Houston Texans for the Houston Chronicle, has reported that the Texans, in the wake of Deshaun Watson's ACL injury, have signed former Penn State quarterback Matt McGloin as a backup. But our pal, Howard Balzer, longtime NFL expert who's joined us on the program many, many times in the past, has reported that Bob McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, has reportedly signed off on bringing Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. Colin Kaepernick, who actually would be a fairly good fit with that Texans offense, but we'll see. I may have some more thoughts on that coming up in hour number two of the program, because if you haven't been following along with the Bob McNair follies in Houston, he can't seem to get out of his own way, and maybe this would be a good way to win back a little bit of that public goodwill. The Houston Chronicle, by the way, sold out of two press runs of their paper today. The original press run of 200,000, or 300,000, I believe. Then they printed another 150,000 copies of the paper. Those have been purchased, and they are running another limited press run of today's paper celebrating the Astros World Series title. So plenty of keepsakes out there, and I'm sure more than a few of them will turn up on eBay. The Chicago
How much
Tribune,
can you sell those for?
The Chicago Tribune cover from last year was going for lots of money. And what was people would go and they would buy them and they would go get a cheap frame at like Walmart or Target and then mat them. And they were selling them outside of Wrigley Field on the street for like 60, 75 bucks a pop. That's an the entrepreneurial spirit right there.
60 bucks for a newspaper.
Oh, I know somebody that followed the delivery truck around at like 4 in the morning and wanted to make sure that they got one. They followed him to a 7-Eleven, and as the guy was unloading the papers, there were reports of some Sun-Times and Tribune delivery truck drivers selling papers off of the truck before they even got them delivered to the convenience stores and where they were supposed to go. And hey, that's the Chicago way. Let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team will be in action for its second exhibition game tonight. They've got Belmont Abbey College coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena. Tip-off is set for 7:05, and tickets are just $5 for adults and free for kids and students. Belmont Abbey's making the trip from Belmont, North Carolina, and they went 14-15 out of the Division II Conference Carolinas. Northern Iowa took one on the chin in Madison last night, falling to Wisconsin 69-38 in its exhibition to benefit the hurricane relief efforts. Juwan McLeod led the Panthers with 10 points, but all of that came within just the first 7 minutes. UNI struggled, but a lot of the credit should go to Wisconsin's defense, allowing just 32% shooting and forcing 16 turnovers. Freshman Badger guard Kobe King had a game-high 15 points, while Ethan Happ and Khalil Iverson each had 9. Former Hawkeye Micah Hyde is in his 5th season in the NFL and his first with the Bills. He's really hitting his stride now in Buffalo. He leads the league with 5 interceptions and today was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month after 4 of those picks came in just October alone. Another former Hawkeye, Greg Maven, who was cut by the Bills early this year, was signed off the Niners practice squad and joined CJ Beathard and George Kittle on the active roster. Tonight after the show, we've got Thursday Night Football. The surprising Bills travel to New York to take on the meddling Jets in an AFC East matchup. That's going to start just before 7:30, and we'll carry the coverage right after our show on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
It's kind of interesting. Mark Emmert, a friend of the show from the Des Moines Register, not the president of the NCAA, is reporting that Iowa is looking at building a new softball facility to replace Pearl Field there on the Coralville Strip, which isn't all that old, and I always thought it was a relatively decent facility. It had one of the slowest operating elevators known to mankind that took you from the ground level up to the press box. But other than that, a pretty nice place for a softball game, and I don't know whether what would happen with the complex or where they would build it. We'll see if Mark has some more details about that, but certainly interesting. Deshaun Watson, as we mentioned, tearing his ACL, is going to miss the rest of the season, and that puts the Houston Texans in a precarious spot. Is it a precarious spot enough where they would warrant bringing in Colin Kaepernick for a workout? As we mentioned, Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, says he is open to it. We'll talk about that and maybe that other Houston team when hour number 2 kicks off right here on KGYM after this.